Considering I didn't drop any acid to get my lyrics, I'm okay with them. I'm very grateful, and I feel like I owe something to Creed. Yet I don't play my songs for anybody. They're private, and I can't find Creed to give him a tape. Nobody in Steepleton has ever found so much as a hair from his head. It gets me with almost a crushing sadness sometimes, because to me, he has become a hero and a legend. He was an innocent kid, a victim, and I still have the same feeling I had when I first saw my name in his note. Like I could have shared some part of myself with him, whatever part he was thinking of when he saw fit to put my name in his email. So I feel like there's a part of me rotting on the vine sometimes, no matter how many songs I write and what other things I do. I did get obsessed for a while with finding things to do. I was watching TV one night when I was still in the psychiatric hospital. I saw a documentary on these guys in Belfast who refused to cut their hair until some IRA guy got released from prison. And there were IRA sympathizers walking around all over Belfast with hair to their asses. I liked that story and decided I would not cut my hair until someone turned up information on Creed. By the start of senior year, I had a ponytail about 6 inches long, and fortunately, they don't care much about hair length at Rothbourne. I never told anyone in Steepleton why I was doing it, except Allie, because I was afraid some Renee Bowen sympathizer would accuse me of trying to prove my innocence. My dad promised me a Dodge Durango for graduation if I did cut it. I refused on that count too, but eventually decided that hair was a non-functional protest, and I could probably find other ways to help my own cause. The functional thing, which I've kept up until this day, is trying to find Creed through the internet. I got the idea last summer, the last time I saw Dr. Foddy. He mentioned Chris's love of the internet. His very last words to the town were via email. "You should try to find him and send him your story," Dr. Foddy suggested. Dr. Foddy had known me for a number of months at that point, and he knew I had not been part of any murder, and he also agreed with my stance that Creed was probably alive. I had returned to the same conclusion I had reached that night I stood on top of the three stones, before the one fell over on me. I had walked in Creed's shoes that night. The week previously, I had walked in little Greg's shoes. I had walked in Lyle Corsica's shoes, Allie's shoes. I still feel like I can walk in other people's shoes. And as for Creed, I decided that maybe he had died, in the figurative sense. Maybe the psychic was right when she related him to death in the woods. Maybe I found death when I found that stupid treasure map, which stood as some sort of symbolic memorial to him. Maybe just after he sent his goodbye email to Mr. Ames, he visited the woods, and there made the decision that Chris Creed, or at least those parts of himself that he wrote that he hated, would die.